is right next door, Father God, and Pastor John and Corona Friends Church. We have Pastor John Sloan just down the street, Father God, in North Point. We lift them up to you. We thank you, Father, for blessing them today. We pray for Pastor Jeremy at Connection Church, Heavenly Father. Pastor Ron King down the street, Heavenly Father, at New Hope, Father God. Bless them this morning, Father God. We pray for South Hills and Crossroads, Heavenly Father. We pray for you and ask that you pour your spirit out upon all the churches this morning in the city of Corona where you called us, Father God. And Father, we thank you for the salvation of the 90,000 that live here that don't know you. In Jesus' name, let all who agree with that say, amen. Amen. Please repeat after me. Say, I will worship.
I will worship.
I will connect.
I will be equipped,
and I will serve. So today, I want to share something with you. Now, I teach with an emphasis on the practical application of the Word of God to our day-to-day life. It's one thing just to read the Bible and know some stories, but how does this apply? You know, when we look at Jesus in Luke 4:18, when he gets up and he announces his ministry, you know, a lot of us, and it's valid, it's very valid that we say, well, Jesus came so we can have eternal life. I agree with that. But if we look at what he said at the start, he said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. I came to set the captives free, to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty those that are bruised. And so he came to really help us deal with life today. Now, the Bible also tells us that the things written in the Old Testament were written there for our example and for our learning, that we in this age can have hope. And so when I read the Old Testament now, I look to see, God, what did you lay down? What was illustrated? What happened? And how does that apply to me today? I want to be victorious like we were singing earlier today during worship. I want to be victorious in all that I do. And so how have you equipped me? What have you given me? What weapons, if you would, or what ammunition have you given me so that I can go forth and really walk in the victory that I have in Christ Jesus that's already ordained for me? And so today, I'm going to give you a story. We're going to look at Rachel and Leah, but I'm going to give you a little backstory first. So after the flood in Genesis 8, okay, the earth is flooded, there's Noah. And a few generations later, there's this man, Abraham. God calls Abraham because he really wants to usher in Jesus Christ, okay? So he calls Abraham, and then Abraham is with Sarah. And then Abraham and Sarah, they have a son Isaac. Got it? Isaac marries Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah, they have two sons, Esau and Jacob. Now, today we're going to talk about Jacob and his wives, two of his wives, Rachel and Leah, okay? Now, our scriptural text, I have two. A little unusual, but who says I can't do it? Genesis 29:11 says this on your handout. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and he wept aloud. A few Sundays ago, we talked about that. There was something in that kiss. They kissed, and the boy started crying. She was potent. That's a bad, what's that old song? Young people don't know this. That's a bad mama jamma. Y'all remember that one? That was something. It was something about that kiss broke him down. Boy got weak in his knees. Now, we look at verse 16 through 17, and it talks about Laban, Rachel's father. It says, on your handout. Now, Laban had two daughters. The older daughter was named Leah, and the younger one was Rachel, the one that he had to kiss with. Got it? 17. There was no sparkle in Leah's eyes, but. Rachel had a beautiful figure and a lovely face. So the beauty and the body. Got it? She looked good. Now, I don't know, because this is just me. Say it's just Pastor. Not in the scripture, it's just me. I'm not reading anything into it, it's just me. Okay? But Jacob was on the run. He had stolen the birthright from his brother Esau. He probably wasn't in a good place emotionally. And then all of a sudden he comes across this beautiful woman and she kisses him, and he was in such a vulnerable state that bam! Got him. So today's message title is Chasing Rachel. Because a lot of us are chasing Rachel. He was so moved by their kiss. And he went to Laban and he says, and this I'm paraphrasing, okay? I want your daughter, and Laban said, okay, you can have her, but work, you got to work 7 years. And he's like, cool, no problem. He worked 7 years. But Laban pulls old okie doke. Now, again, it's just me. Say it's just Pastor. But just like Jacob tricked Esau out the birthright, the As my brother used to say when he was younger, a little trickeration. I'm like, boy, where do you come up with these words? Then later on, so you reap what you sow. I'm mindful of the seeds that I sow. Because I want a certain harvest, so I sow certain seeds. I've had pastors say to me, man, I wish I had me a Joanne Hudson. But I remember what I said, how I served my bishop. Behind the scenes. Stuff nobody knows with me, God, and him right now. I won't even charge you for that one, okay? So Jacob works 7 years, gets Rachel. I mean, so the marriage and is arranged and everybody's excited. Now, the way the marriage is consummated, marriage happens in the Bible, you don't go down to City Hall and get a blood test and get a license and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's when you come together. Everybody understands me, right? That means a marriage. He waited 7 years. Hallelujah. Can we say waited seven? Okay, so that kiss was something. The brother waited. And I'm thinking, you know, you wait. That kiss was something. He probably thinking, okay, everybody tracking with me? Glory to God. Okay. So that night, they come together. But see, the thing that Laban, the father, did, he substituted, he pulled Rachel out and put Leah in. Now, Leah tells us, Scripture says she had no sparkle. You know, we're reading the New Living Translation. If you read it in original Hebrew, her eyes were weak. I don't know if that was like a laziness in one or two of the eyes, or if she was cross-eyed and she had some kind of dysfunction, and she was not appealing. She wasn't appealing. And so when he wakes up, he sees that it's been Rachel the whole time. And I've talked to you guys, too, about that. If you think about how frustrating, imagine being Rachel. I'm sorry. Imagine being Leah. Imagine being Leah. Whole night, you're Leah. Whole night. Whole night. And what are you hearing? Rachel this, Rachel that. Oh, I'm so happy. What was I? And the whole time, you having to fake that. You talking about rejection? Think of what she experienced, okay? Keep that in mind. He wakes up, light, and all of a sudden he sees is Leah. He goes and he goes off on Laban, like, what have you done? Now, what is the girl hearing? What is Leah hearing? It's like, nobody wants me. My younger sister's getting married before me. She's prettier than I am. You know, you think about all the issues I'm sure she had. And the thing is that a lot of us are Leahs. We weren't the ones chosen. We were the ones rejected, overlooked, neglected, kicked to the curb. Think about it for a moment. Rejection is a beast. And a lot of us do everything we can to avoid rejection. So Laban says, you know what? If you really, really want Rachel, work another seven. And he said, yes, I would. How did that make Leah feel? He's like, dang, you really want her, don't you? Genesis 29:31-35. And these five verses are going to tell us a lot. When the Lord saw, verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, say unloved. Unloved. There it is right there. So Jacob didn't love her. He enabled her to have children, but Rachel could not conceive. Verse 32. So Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, the Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me. Now she got her hope back. I gave him a son. Didn't work. 33. She soon became pregnant again and gave birth to another son. She named him Simeon, for she said, the Lord heard that I was in love and has given me another son. Didn't work. 34. Then she became pregnant a third time. Say third time. And gave birth to another son. She named him Levi. For she said, surely this time my husband will feel affection for me. She was hanging in there. Since I have given him three sons. Sure, I've given him three sons. He's got to be crazy about me now. Now, here's the thing about Levi, though. Levi was significant. And this passage right here really encourages me. Because from Levi came the Levites. And the Levites were like the priest, if you would. The ones that would really represent the people before God. This was God's chosen group. Out of all of the Israelites, you know, he chose the Levites. Those that were descendants of Levi here. And they were the ones that would offer the sacrifices. Those were the called. Those are the preachers, if you would, and the deacons and elders. If you get it? And so from her misery, you got to look at lineage here and what came out of her. See, Leah produced. Let's look at her next son. 35. And by the way, Moses came out of Levi, okay? And Moses was the one that led the children of Israel out of Egypt. 35. Once again, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to another son. She named him Judah. For she said, now I will praise the Lord. And then she stopped having children. Next Sunday, we're having a special Christmas service because of Judah. Because from Judah came Jesus. So Leah, the unloved, the rejected, the overlooked, the neglected, she produced. And see, a lot of us, we so focus on the Rachels, we overlook the Leahs. See, we love Rachel. That kiss! Turn your hand out over, please. This morning, I want to help you recognize your Leah. Because sometimes you're so busy chasing after Rachel, you miss what's going to produce. Sometimes the thing you like the least is the thing that will produce the most. I'll say that again. Sometimes the thing you like the least is the thing that will produce the most. On your handout, who's the Leah in your personal relationship? Well, I know there's a Rachel's. Can we have the first picture, please? Here's your Rachel's and all your friends. Girl, what you doing? Come on, let's go out. Hey, what is it? Turned up. We turned up. Or turn it up. Was turned up. Say it again. Turned. Yeah, y'all go with them words again. Turned. T-U-R-N-T. T-U-R-N. Turned. Give y'all a dictionary. Turned up. Now, here's the thing about Julius. You know what they'll say? You know, you're feeling bad. I don't know. I'm just not doing too. Girl, come on out. We just going to go. Let's go get a drink. Or, nowadays, girl, come on, let's just go and smoke this. You don't care what the lawmakers say. I said, that's your Rachel. Feel good. We had a good time. Three girls and two guys. What do you think those two guys are thinking right there? I'm guaranteed, I can't guarantee because I don't know them. I just pulled it off the internet. I don't know them. But my point is, but knowing the way men think, they huddling up. Dude, we can do three of them. You think we can handle this? I'm telling you. And you feel good for the moment, but you wake up the next day and it's still there. See, that's Rachel. That's Rachel. And it feels good for a moment. Hey. And for some of y'all, you got a man in your mind right now. And he's your Rachel. Brother, he never produced nothing but heartache for you. And some of y'all married and you still looking over there at your Rachel. He ain't yours. He belongs to somebody else. Oh, Pastor, he understands me. I hear it all the time. I do. And I, you know, and you know how many times I've heard that from sisters. Now, fellas, you ain't even talk about the fellas. Next slide, please. Let's look at the Leah, though. Here's Leah. Look at Leah. Now, look at the lady on your, would that be your left, and the guy on your left. They don't look like much. In fact, they look old. They in black and white. They look like they ain't never had a fun day in their life. But they dropping some serious knowledge right there, trying to direct you and guide you. The Bible says who walks with wise men will be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. I'm mindful of who I hang out with. I am. I'm intentional. Most of my friends have more, know more, jump higher, run faster than I do. Most of them. Now, I got some that don't, but this is where I'm going to spend my time. Next slide, please. And it's not only older people, but I make sure peer-to-peer. So who can you go and talk to and listen to, and they got even on a peer level? Sit down. Let's have a cup of coffee. Come by, girl. Let's talk this through. Let's think long-term. Because often we get caught up in a moment. We got that kiss. That kiss. So who are the Rachels, but who are the Leahs in your relationship? And you need somebody that know how to produce. And you need to learn to step to them. I see a lot of, you know, and oh, okay, I'm just going off my notes for a minute. Fellas, stop trying to go through stuff alone. Twice in the last 2 weeks, I've come across guys who are going through hell right now in their lives. And I'm like, what is going on? Why didn't you call? Why didn't you say something? Well, you know, I'm just going to tough it out. You're going to figure it out? You cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it. Back to my notes. Who's the leader in your career or your ministry? Next slide. This is Trey Watson, member of New Day. Yay, Trey. Trey's up at Cal Berkeley right now. Senior. Trey was ranked the 20th running back in the nation as a senior at Cal Berkeley right now. So he's looking for the NFL. Well, the second game of the year, tore his ACL. Broke his heart, broke mine too. Me and Minister Tim, because we was going to the game with him and JJ and Arizona Cal play, and we wore our Cal jersey and Arizona hat. You know, we got our two guys, and we had it all planned. Trey messed them plans up. No, he didn't. Okay. But Trey came home, and, you know, we talked about it. But for Trey, though, you got to think about the kiss. Now, when he was in junior high, you know, he was a star running back in Corona, you know. And then we got to high school. He set a state record of 54 touchdowns in one season. It's crazy. Centennial was running over everybody. It was like 88 to 10 and 78 to 3 and he was the man. He gets to Cal Berkeley. He didn't start right away, but then he got the starting position. And you know, we text and we talk. And here's the thing. See, that's the kiss. Next slide, please. But see, that was Rachel. But this is Leah. Boy, you better stay in the library. Amen. Hallelujah for all them 100,000 people cheering. And you guys know a college game is crazy. Minister Tim and I went to Arizona, four weeks ago, to see JJ play, and they were Arizona State. It was crazy. I mean, positive, just loud and all that. And the kids come out, and everybody's cheering and talking trash, and it's exciting. After the game, we all go and greet the players when they come out. That's the kiss. But I went to JJ's mom. I said, hey, how's his grades? What's his GPA? So y'all think I only be concerned about how many touchdowns, how many yards he got. Because Rachel is the running and the scoring and the cheering and all that kind of stuff, and me and on YouTube and rankings, and that's hallelujah. But what about life after football? That's Leah. And that means you're going to have to study, because Leah ain't sexy. Who wants to be in a library? But that's why I put a picture of Trey in. That's where you need to be. Long term, you need to think this through. Next one, please. Now, this is for, okay, that's career stuff. But next slide, please. Next picture. But what about ministry? Here's my favorite. Well, I got a lot of favorites. Pastor, the Lord spoke to me. And most ministers, most people call to something, they love the platform. I want to sing my song. Pastor, this is my Sunday. Or here's one, the people that call to preach, my favorite. I got a good word. And that's cool. I'm glad you got a good word. But see, we focus so much on the platform. See, and then everybody's sitting out there, everybody cheering after service. People say, Pastor, that was good. Like last Sunday after Zoe. Oh, you know, that was the first time I've been back there in 8 years, right? And everybody, oh, man, you matured. Oh, that was a good word. You dropped it right what I needed to hear. And yeah, I'm getting all of that. Then people posting stuff on Facebook, and they put the video up, and it's all, yeah, that's Rachel. Next slide. Let's look at Leah. You better get in that word. Get your journal. Sit down and get into God and let the word get into you. I text Pastor about 8 hours ago. He ain't hit me back. I'm in my word. Me and Jesus. I'll bring one day my journal. I got crates of journals. I got to get into my word. I have to get into my word. I spent 30 minutes up with you guys on a Sunday. 30 minutes, just 30 minutes. Just 30 minutes. Just 30 minutes. You know how much time I spent developing this? Do you know how long ago I developed this? You know I got my stuff written out to the next 6 months? Well, I'm out till June of next year. But if I don't, it's not about this. It's about getting to him. And see, that is Leah. Nobody sees other than God. Nobody knows. No one knows. No one to say, yay, way to go. Next slide. What's your lead in your walk with God? Now, for a lot of us, next picture. Answered prayer. Pastor, what do you mean? Here we go. This is what happens. You're going through a tough time. This is what happens. Pastor, your money's tight. Or Pastor, I don't know. And I'm praying. And it's cool. And me and my wife, we do. We get in agreement. Okay, we're praying. Okay, Father, we thank you for such and such in their job application, their interview. Bless them. Give them favor. Give them the right words to say. You know, we're praying, right? Then you hit me back. Pastor, I got the job. Yeah. And you're excited. Excited and thrilled. And I love it. The next thing is, Pastor, I can't wait to tithe. Because, Pastor, you taught us, I'm blessed to be a blessing. And right now, you just had that kiss, that interview, that call that you would accept you. And you sign my application, Pastor. Yeah, I did, you know, yeah, I met with human resources. Oh, Pastor, got some good benefits, Pastor. And hallelujah, and that's what we pray and believe in God for. Jesus said he came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I ain't mad at you. I want you to prosper. Word of God says that. But see, that's that Rachel. Let's look at Leah. Next one, please. Leah, you still need to get into the presence of God. And sometimes we get that job, and this is what I watch this. You get that job. Hallelujah. Then all of a sudden, you don't have time for life group. You don't have time for Bible study. Oh, well, Pastor, on the way to work, and all y'all going to get mad at me right now because I'd have had 900 people tell me this. Well, on the way to work, Pastor, I turn on the radio and I listen to Tony Evans. That's good. I love Tony Evans. I listen to, Greg Laurie. Everybody loves Greg. I love Greg, too. Greg's a great guy. Love Harvest. Elder Abraham, we've taken some of the African pastors over there to great Pastor Greg's church, and we got great relations. I love these guys. Pastor 107.9, I get it. But you need to stop and take time and get in God's presence. You do. Amen, Sister Carolyn. Thank you for clapping. See, the thing about you get the car. Pastor, we need a new car. My car broke down. Okay, good. You get the new car. Hallelujah. But then you can't drive to church or you don't pick nobody up. You get the new house. Pastor, we believe for our own house, but you don't invite nobody over. I'm an introvert. Me too! And tell Benita I'll give her $20 because I said it. Okay, I'm an introvert. You guys laughing. Benita told me stop saying I'm an introvert in front of congregation. Sorry, Benita. I don't care. See, we will use excuses. Why can't people come over? God bless you with the house. And you won't practice the gift of hospitality. You think he gave you your house just for you? We've had 50 some people from other nations stay in my house. Jack and I wonder, why do we get such a big house? What is it for? It's not for me and her. It's for others. And we have to allow people to come. And some of you have hallelujah, but some of you, going back to just, you know, that house, that was your Rachel, that car, that was your Rachel, that new job, that was your Rachel. But then what are you doing about God and honoring his people and his will and what it is he wants? And I'm going to tell you something. The more time you spend in his presence, the clearer your life and everything is going to get and your direction. Many times you're still asking, like, Lord, I can't figure this out. And it's because you haven't gotten in his presence. And one of you ministers, elders, somebody said this recently, maybe in 515, that God is, it's talking to God is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. No, that was Pastor Charles last week. Talking to God is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. Sometimes you need to stop and listen. And we're so busy, you know, God, I need this. And well, you know what? What does he need? What does he want? What does he want? And so that's not a really sexy thing, you know, but Rachel is fun and exciting. But see, Rachel is also temporary, fleeting. The Bible talks about Moses not wanting to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, there are things we get caught up in as seasonal, and they don't last. But see, if you get into Leah, Leah's lasting. Leah's long-term. Leah produces. Leah's the one you're going to finish the race with. But see, there's nothing. Now, here's the thing, too. There's nothing bright and shiny about Leah. There's nothing like just going to grab your attention. Nothing you're going to look twice at. It doesn't have that. There's only a few people in the world wake up in the morning and say, I want to go to the library today. There's only a few. And usually librarians or serious nerds, and I like nerds. I'm not against nerds. But getting in his presence, honoring him, it doesn't really appeal. But he loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me so he can be in relationship with me. You mean I can't take time for that? See, there is no kiss that can top that. And I'm not talking about a physical kiss, but there's nothing in this earth that's so exciting and so overwhelming that it tops what God did for me through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why we're having Christmas, birth of Christ. Let's look at something. It's not on your handout. Isaiah 53:2 says this. Isaiah 53:2. You know what? In fact, you guys got your devices, whatever, right? Highlight this. Make a note on this one, okay? You need to understand this, the significance of this. Isaiah 53:2 says this. Reading from the New Living Translation. And this is a prophetic word about Jesus Christ, okay? This is something that I think, if I'm not mistaken, Isaiah was about 800 years before Jesus, okay? And he said this, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. Okay, here we go. This speaking of Jesus. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing beautiful or majestic about Jesus. Nothing to attract us to him. Now, when we look at a lot of photos, okay, especially a long time ago, a lot of people have gotten away from that, but in the early 1900s, mid-1900s, there was this Jesus. He was a white guy with brown or blonde-looking hair, blue eyes, okay? And he was more like he would, who's that guy that played him in The Passion of Christ? Jim Caviezel? Yeah. So and that's the figure that we had. Well, see, we look at somebody like Jim Caviezel, and if I'm saying his name right, that dude, I'm sorry if I'm messing it up. But we look at him and like, wow, he's attractive. You walk, or like a Tom Cruise, you're going down the mall, or Denzel, whoever, and you're walking down the mall and you see somebody like that, it gets your attention. And so as you walk with your husband, you try to do it on the sly, but he catches your attention. But here, the real Jesus, the one that our Savior, the one that came and was born in a manger, not at the Four Seasons, or as Lynette works for the W, you know. I said too, and when I say to you, Lynette, you work for the Marriott or something, you say, no, I work for the W. Okay, so she's the accountant for the W, okay? And those are nice places and nice things. I'm not against that. But there was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. But so let me ask you. Jesus was the descendant of Leah. But he's not shiny. And most likely the Jewish guys at that time, they had short black hair. Nothing about him. Nothing, quote unquote, sexy. You're not going to get that kiss. Nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. See, the thing about Rachel, you know, she gave birth to our second son, Benjamin, and she died on the way to Bethlehem. She didn't make it. She didn't finish the journey. Look at this. I'm just as an example, okay? Leah did finish. And Leah, who was rejected earlier, Leah was the one that ended up in a place of honor. Let me show you what I mean. Genesis 49:29-32. Now, remember I talked to you at the beginning about Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Rebecca. Got it? And Jacob, and you would think Rachel. Let's read. Then Jacob instructed them. He's talking to his sons. He's about to die. He says, soon I will die and join my ancestors. Bury me with my father and grandfather in a cave in the field of Ephron the Hittite. This is a cave in the field of Machpelah near Mamre in Canaan that Abraham brought from Ephron the Hittite as a permanent burial site. There Abraham, watch this, his wife Sarah are buried. There Isaac and his wife Rebecca are buried. And there I buried Leah. So she ended up in a place of honor. She started off rough, rejected, kicked to the curb, maligned, overlooked. But look at where she ended up. And for a lot of you guys, you're not thinking long term. So I want you to find your Leah and hold tightly. You need your Leahs. And the best Leah is Jesus Christ. Nothing majestic about his appearance. He was born in a manger. Not at the Four Seasons, not at the W. It wasn't announced on CNN and everything. In a manger, among the animals, among the poor. Shepherds first appeared. Jesus is Elijah. And I want to challenge you. If you don't know him, here's your opportunity. Bow your heads, please. Father God, in the name of